What a great, great picture of us remembering things that matter the most, the memories that connect into our willingness to forgive, our willingness to remember, and a willingness to connect to what it is God has for us in the midst of our life experiences. And so today, as you think about that, think about in your own life journey, different memories you have. And I began to reflect on a very special memory that connects into our lives way before One Heart and way before moving to Atlanta. Many years ago, we had the privilege of being engaged and married to a beautiful young lady, and I can remember vividly that my mother-in-law was not your normal kind of lady. She was one who walked with God, had a sincere commitment to accomplishing God's purpose through her life. And I'll never forget, soon after we had married and we moved to Oklahoma, we got a call from Shirley, and she said, "Hey, we're having a revival at our church. I'm going to invite your brother and his girlfriend to come with." To come to church, and I'm hoping that day something will happen, and I'll never forget it. It seemed like yesterday, because the story unfolds in such a beautiful way. They'd never been in church to speak of before. They had no idea the connection point of what God could do and would do, but in that particular moment, they found themselves in church, and they didn't know that you had to wait till the end of the service to give your heart to Christ, They just understood that Jesus was the answer. And as a result, before the music ever started playing, they were coming down the aisle and they gave their hearts to God. And I can remember the memory of that could never leave my mind and my heart, because when I look at the reflection of what transpired as a result of their choice, they walked out of the world into a relationship with God. That relationship allowed them to experience watching two wonderful boys be birthed and grow up, and one of them serves as a pastor in New Mexico. The other is the most accomplished salesman of the entire Cox Cable Company in America. And I look at those two boys and I see both of them in love with God, in love with Jesus, following and serving Him. The memory of my mother-in-law picking up the phone and saying, "Will you come to church?" will always stand out to me as being one of those vivid memories. And I want you to think about it in your own life, because there are unforgettable memories. There are unforgettable moments that come into our story, and they stand out so vividly. One of those unique moments happened in our lives before we moved to Atlanta. We had the opportunity to come here in the spring of 1996, and Cindy was completely convinced it was God's best for our life, going to be a great deal. She was excited about it, and I was excited about it as well. And then it fell apart and just completely stopped for a moment. And I can remember, because that was on a Saturday night that it stopped, and we had to go to church on Sunday. Well, Cindy, man, she was crying, and she was weeping, and of course, no one knew what she's crying about, because no one knew what we were going through at that particular moment. And people kept walking by me going, "Your wife is so moved by the service. Look at her. I mean, she is weeping." She wasn't weeping about the service. She's weeping about what appeared to be a missed opportunity. Well, God had a perfect timing for that. Later on that particular year, He opened the door, brought us to Atlanta in the fall of 1996. And I look back across the span of all those years, how many memories do we have that stand out? And I want you to think about it in your own life, because when the people of God crossed the Jordan, their memories had to be so vivid. And yet, what does Joshua do? Joshua memorializes the moment where they can never forget it. And I want you to think about today, we all have memories etched on our hearts that stand out for a reason. They're there as unforgettable memories to set in motion us understanding what it is God wants to do in each one of our lives. So today, I want you to think about that as you open your Bible to Joshua chapter 4. As you're turning there, I want you to realize that in the fourth chapter, they are called to stop and to wait and remember what God has done for them. And today we're going to look at what happens when we stop. What happens when we wait. What happens when we remember what it is that He wants to do in our lives. And I want you to think about it in your own life. Can you remember the most vivid spiritual memory you have? Perhaps it's a moment when God spoke to your heart in such vivid contrast that you knew it was 5K. It stood out as being unbelievable. And you knew that it was God speaking to you. Now watch this carefully. Oftentimes, the reason we don't hear is we get bombarded with different things that causes pain, difficulty, heartache, challenges. I want you to think about the people of God. 40 years, They had been burying people who didn't believe. They had been burying people who did not trust. Because as a result, they wandered in that wilderness for 40 solid years. And then all of a sudden, they come to a point of making a memorial of a memory. And it stands out to me, that's quite interesting, that the most vivid thing that transpires out of this entire fourth chapter is that Joshua says to the people on two different occasions, you have to be able to tell your children what it is that God has done. You have to be able to tell your children. And I want you to think about this, because our memories have unique power and impact on our life. They stand out to us, because oftentimes our memories are there to remind us to stop and to wait and remember what it is that God has done. And so I want you to think about this. Just after giving testimony about falling, I had numerous testimonies of people who had fallen before me. And some of them had marks on their arms and different things. And the reality is, we all have different memories. Those things are physical things. They will probably pass in time because you lived on beyond the experience. But when it comes to something spiritual, when it comes to something significant as it relates to your spiritual journey, that stands out forever, because that is a moment that God gave you. That's why, whether we have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone we work near, someone we encounter, it is all those vivid moments that stand out to us as being the most significant when they have a spiritual basis to them, all right? And so today, as you think about that, I want you to notice in Joshua chapter 4, I want to break this text down, but I want to focus on three verses that I think will help you understand the essence of what was transpiring in the fourth chapter. Now, for those of you who don't know historically what's transpired so far, they have been called by God to be led by Joshua. Joshua is the leader. He's telling them, God said to him, you're going to be courageous. Every step you place your foot, you're going to have it. You have the courage. You have the strength. You have the wisdom. Be strong, be strong, be strong. They park on one side of the Jordan River, anticipating crossing over in the other side. That 3 days gets them prepared to be able to experience what God intends. And then they come across that river with the priest holding the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the presence of God at work in all their lives. And believe me, the one thing they wanted no matter what was to be near his presence, because his presence symbolized God's best for their life and their future. And I want to say to you that you and I, the most important thing we can do is be near his presence at work in our hearts and lives, hearing him speak, listening to his voice, knowing what it is he has for us. And listen, if your mind is clouded by challenges, stop and listen for the clarity of a voice that is so distinctive that you could never forget it. And because the voice of God that speaks to your heart will speak to you in such a way that you go, you know what, I hear him speaking. I know exactly what it is he wants to do. And so, look if you would, in Joshua chapter 4, I want you to see three different verses. Look if you would, first of all, at verse 6. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? What do these stones mean to you? What is he doing here? He's reminding them that we all have a story to tell. Some in this room, your story is intricately linked to particular people who had particular impact on you, who transformed the way you live your life, who spoke into your heart in such a powerful way. But he says, what would these stones mean? And the key, watch this, and you ought to underline or circle that. The key to this particular verse, what do these stones mean to you? Because the reality is, if they're not personal, they're not going to be powerful. If they're not powerful, they're not going to be applicable. So watch this. Every experience we have in life, if it's personal enough to speak to us, and it's powerful enough not to forget, and it's applicable enough for us to go, you know what? I get it. I see what it is God's trying to teach me. For example, me falling this week taught me something. I learned, you know what? You better watch where you're stepping, because you're only one step away from a fall. You're only one step away from missing something that's coming your way. And listen, in life, think about the spiritual application of that. We're all just one step away. One step away. Cindy was sharing about her Saturday morning Bible study and how they were contrasting what happens when Abraham can be so connected to God in the next moment, be lying, saying, she's my sister. I mean, how can that disconnect happen? It's in a moment. It's in a moment. And that's why, what do these stones mean to you, is so powerful. Look at verse 14. Second verse I want you to see. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, so that they revered him just as they had revered Moses all the days of his life. Now, when you read that, your first thought is, okay, what's the most critical part of this story? Moses was so revered, he was the friend of God. I mean, he was a man who stood out as being an unbelievable leader. But in this moment, when those stones are being placed, the people realize and they lift him up, not to glorify him, but to glorify the one who listens to God. Because that's the reality, is that's what makes the most sense to anyone who really thinks about their life mattering. It's not where someone gives you an accolade. It is when he gives you an affirmation. Because watch this, the accolades of men never carry you to the affirmation of God. They're just men saying, hey, you can do this, you do that. So what happens to each one of us? We start thinking about, all of a sudden, he's revered as much as Moses. I mean, you realize the guy who got the Ten Commandments, now Joshua, who's carrying those Ten Commandments in the Ark of the Covenant, they have it all established there. He's got a place that is in just the same spot. He's hanging out there. What I want you to get a hold of is this. You want to be used by God? You want him to accomplish his purpose in your life? Watch this. Take your memories. Remember what they're there for. Let them become applicable to your life. Tap into God's power source for your life. Hey, listen, if you're broken, he will bless you. These people were broken, and God opened the opportunity for them to be blessed in a powerful way. Look at verse 20, the final verse, if you would. Verse 24. In fact, go back to verse 23 because it'll help you make total sense of what we're looking at today. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. This is the key. That all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. All right, you take those three verses, all right? Watch this. What do these stones mean to you? Revered and exalted like Moses, and that people would come to fear the Lord. What's the idea of fearing the Lord? It's not the kind of fear of a snake coming by and you jumping. No. It's recognizing who he really is. Because listen, if you know who he is, it makes you go, wow, I don't ever want to do anything that would cause me to miss reverencing the one who knows my heart, who owns my heart, who directs my step. And so today, as you think about that, here it sets in motion them coming to the place where they have to stop, because what happens is Joshua tells the 12 men, he says, I want you to look, if you would, verse 3, and command them, saying, take up for yourself 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm. And then look on down at verse 8. That's the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the middle of Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. If I put a pile of rocks here and I say to you, hey, come pick out a rock, we're going to build a memorial. Your first thought is, I'll pick that rock up, I'll put it up here on the platform, and I'll make a great statement about what it is that we're going to do by putting these 12 stones here and symbolizing what God has done. Here's what's interesting. You know how far they had to carry their stone? 8 miles. 8 miles. And they had to carry that stone as a testimony to what it is that God had done for them. Then the memorial was established. And it's established in a place called Gilgal. And what is the word Gilgal all about? We have a blessing of being involved with the ladies of Gilgal in ministry. We have a great event happening next month to specifically bless and encourage those who have been through the challenge of having to deal with their reproach. And what that word means is he's taken our reproach away. So what does Gilgal become? It becomes the central point of reference for all their battles, all their memories, all their victories, and even in their defeats, they go back to Gilgal, which tells you something. What is the cross all about? We sang a hymn during the service at the cross. What is that cross all about? It is a memory that allows us to understand that what God has done for us, we can never do for ourselves. And Joshua memorializes this by putting stones in the water, by putting stones at their encampment. And you can imagine, they all saw those stones. So every time they went out to battle, they would bring them back. So I want to ask you a question. How many of you have at least one article or memory connected to a parent or a grandparent who's gone on before you in your house? Let me see your hand. You have those things for a particular reason, don't you? Now, you have them because they represent something that stands out to you related to who it is that's gone before you. And it can be something, it could be a Bible, it could be a memento, something that they represented them, it could be a different thing. But they're all there, and whenever you see them, they stand out to you as being significant. In my house, I have a couple very vivid things, but one that's most vivid is I have the candy dish from my grandmother's table. And that candy dish had significance to me beyond words because it was not the quality of the candy. Anyone who's ever lived in a home that only had one of those fans that blew water and tried to cool, water cooler fans, you realize the house is very hot. And so my grandmother's house was very hot in the summer. But it's interesting, by the way, I was never concerned about the temperature, but I always liked to make sure there's candy in the dish. And so whenever I would go as a kid, I'd walk in, man, and I'd go, "Grandma, you got candy?" "Yes, I have candy." So I'd go over there, and I had to pull it apart because it was stuck together. But you know what was amazing? That candy, it was the sweetest candy, not because it was the most wonderfully prepared. It was the sweetest because my grandmother had it there for me. And I want you to think, keep by this in mind. God has sweetness planned for you. You just have to come to His dish, come to His grace, come to His experience, and experience what He has for you, because that stands out as most vivid. That candy dish that I have in my house, it sits on a shelf that my grandchildren can see but never touch. Very, very planned that way. It is way up high. I can tell them about it. I can even let them look inside it, but I don't let them touch it because you know what I know? Sure as I'm sitting there, my memory is going to get crashed. And so I put it back up. But I remind them of what it is that they will never have met my grandmother until heaven. They will not know who she is. But if they met me, they met a part of her. And they see that vivid part of that memory. So today, as you think about that, that's what Joshua was establishing. He's establishing something for you and me. Listen, there are some things we ought to hang on to. We ought to hang on to. One Christmas, I gave my three kids a copy of the three Bibles I taught out of for the first season of my entire life. And I want my grandchildren to have the next set of Bibles that I teach out of and preach out of, because I want them to have something that's tangible that stands out to them as a memory. I want you to be reminded of this today. The unforgettable memories will not just be experiences. They will be encounters that change the direction of your life. There are moments where you go, you know what? Only God could have done this. I watched my kids experience something like that just in the last few months. God met them at the point of a very distinctive need that they had prayed for over a long season of time, and God answered that need in a powerful way. It's an unforgettable memory. And I know for Caleb McCrinn, they can never forget it. And the details of it are not as relevant as the experience of knowing and encountering God at a point of what your need is, and He meets your need. What I want you to see is He never fails you. He never forsakes you. He never walks away from you. And so today I want you to think about in your own life, I want you to see three things very quickly. First of all, I want to challenge you to take the time to stop on occasion. Take the time to stop. And what Joshua does here is when they had finished the crossing of Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, "Take yourself 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourself 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight." In other words, don't do it the next day or the next day, do it tonight. Stop and look at that memorial. And so what I want you to think about is this. It was a significant moment. And here's what I want you to see, three very vital lessons. One is, significant moments are there to be remembered. We should not forget them. And I can tell you, I can remember my wedding like it was yesterday, and it's 41 and a half, almost 42 years ago. I can remember in particular the fact how hot the room was because they had to turn the fans off or all the candles were all going to blow out. And I can remember, this is such a special moment. We're in this beautiful wedding service, and we're kneeling down to pray. And I'm kneeling like this, and I'm looking straight at Cindy, and I'm sweating like I'm about to die, you know. And Cindy's like, I mean, the person praying over it, she said, "Are you okay? Are you going to die here on the day of our wedding?" You know, I looked really like I was dying because it was so hot. And I said, "I'm fine." But I can remember thinking, that same girl who was worried about me sweating at the wedding has been watching over me and caring for me for 40, almost 2 years. You see, I can't forget that memory because it stood out in the midst of prayer, someone caring for me. Listen, people pray for you. They care for you. They want to see the best for your life. And so today, as you think about your own journey, significant moments should be remembered. The second thing I want you to keep in mind is this. They're the physical reminders that God gives us. They're tangible markers for future generations. There are certain things that you don't want them to forget. They're tangible, and they can hold on to them. I have in my office clocks that go back to my childhood and teenage years. My father bought the clocks in Germany, and I was conversing with someone this week about those clocks, and the memories connected to them. Those clocks will pass on to someone in my family who it matters to them. It's a tangible way of reminding them of what history is all about, because watch this. God at work in us is always at work to accomplish his purpose. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to take and remember some tangible thing. Those stones were tangible. They stood out. Your automobile, things like that, those are irrelevant to speak of. You know, the truth is that they'll come and go unless you have, you know, a 56 Ford? Yeah, convertible. Unless you have a big red thing, and we're going to pass that on. That I understand that in your will that car comes to me. And so thank you, Daryl, for thinking of me. But by the way, that's not true. The reality is, though, he drives around this red car. It is a memory. It's a tangible memory of a whole season of his whole life that goes back to when they met. And how long y'all been married?
60 years.
I mean, there's a lot of years remembered, connected memory-wise to that. And I guarantee if I had Darren and sweet Brenda come up here, they give testimony of different things that are memories to them. What I want you to get in mind is this. Sometimes tangible things are powerful. They just have to have the right purpose in mind. A third and final thing is this. And you got to keep this in mind. Future battles will come our way. But what happens is our previous victories inspire us. All right? So what we're going to see in the next few weeks is God's people, they fight battles, they win battles, they drop their guard, they lose a battle, they repent before God because they have lost, they've turned their eyes away from him, then they come back and have a resounding victory. What I want you to see is we all face times when we don't win, we have face times when we have a challenge, but if you take time to stop and just stop, it will do something for you that's powerful and meaningful. And I want to ask you and challenge you today, sometime this week, stop. Stop and look at a memory. Stop and look at something that someone entrusted to you. It could be something very, very, by the way, my grandmother's candy dish, you can buy those at any antique store for literally nothing. I guarantee you, Miss Shirley sold those things for $2 at Rust and Dust Forever, you know, at her fancy store she had in Chamblee. It's not a fancy piece of equipment there. You know what it is? It's a reminder of the memory connected to the woman who loved me unconditionally and who put her hand on my head and would say to me every time she saw me, someday God will do great things with you. That memory goes back to my early childhood, now spanning so many decades. So that's the first thing. Take the time to stop. Second thing is take the time. Notice verse 14 where it picks up. Take the time to wait as he prepares to use you. Sometimes you just have to wait. It doesn't always sequence out timing-wise. It doesn't always fit into your time frame. In fact, if you were thinking about it for a moment, do you realize how few things come on your time frame? I mean, I guarantee if you take Lisa Lincoln, you take Eddie, anybody's been dealing with their eye issues, none of those things come in their time frame. They have to deal with those, contend with those in a different time frame. You have to wait. You have to wait. And when in verse 14, where he makes it very clear that he was exalted in order to learn how to be revered and used by God, he had to wait. And the people had to wait as well. So watch this. We are renewed when we obey. And what Joshua did was he obeyed. And he guided God. He followed God in that obedience. And in verse 15, he said, the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest who carry the Ark of the Testimony, they come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. And I was reading this, and I want to ask you a question. If you were one of those priests holding the Ark, and the Jordan River was held back up to 10 miles back, and Joshua says, time to get out of the water, tell the people to take it out. Let me ask you this. Do you think those priests walked slow or fast? I mean, they moved at, I guarantee you, at a speed that was fast enough to say, you know what, we don't want to be stuck in this water when that river comes, because it was at flood stage. Here's what I want you to see. When you walk in obedience to God and you wait on him, he'll renew your strength. You'll mount up on wings like eagles. You'll have the most amazing experience. Just be willing to obey and follow his command. Second thing I want you to see is this. We are guarded We are guarded in life by commands. Commit to obey those commands. We are guarded in life by the commands that God gives us. So if he says to you, this is what I want you to do, don't ignore it. Don't disregard it. Don't set it aside. Live it. Live it. Because there are certain specific commands that set in motion your whole life. What would happen? What would happen if you and I just said yes to whatever it is he asks us to do? I tell you what happened. We had the best days of our life. We had the best days of our life. I was reading this week a post by Bob Leiber's wife, Bonnie, who had memorized a verse a year ago from Philippians, and she had no, and her commentary was that no idea what I'd be facing, and yet be anxious for nothing. There's promises that are connected to commands that God gives us to live out our life. It is a command to be anxious for nothing. And yet we let anxiety rule so many different parts of our life. Final thing I want you to see is it. And that is, we're blessed. We're blessed by dry ground. When we act in faith, we're blessed by it. And when we say, you know what, I'm gonna trust the Lord, I want you to think about this. The first person, those priests, as they stepped into that water, you had to be thinking about this thing, wait a minute now, which priest got to be on the front of the ark? Because they're the first ones going to step into that water. And the ones in the back, they're already watching the river stop. They're already seeing the Jordan come back and hold back. But the one in the front had to go step into it. And that's why when we see, by the way, when we see through this book of the Bible, you'll see that God put very specific, powerful, gifted men, priests around Joshua to speak in his heart, speak in his life. And you can't miss that Gilgal became their place, because Gilgal was the place where the first king, Saul, was set apart and anointed to be king. Gilgal was the place where Elijah and Elisha came to teach the prophet. Gilgal was the place where significant things transpired throughout the Bible. It was a place to remember. And I want to challenge you to think about, everyone here has a Gilgal. Everyone here has a moment to remember that sets in motion the future of your life, because you remember. A third and final thing I want you to see. First of all, take time to stop. Secondly, take time to wait. And thirdly, take time to remember. Take time to remember, because what happens in verse 19, you'll notice that the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th, the first month, and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho. By the way, so they walked 8 miles, I'm going to get this in mind, they walked 8 miles with their stones, so that means that everyone had to move from the river 8 miles to camp. They were 2 miles from Jericho, and everybody in Jericho is looking at it going, that's a whole lot of people. That's a lot of folks coming our way. And by the way, who was the one person who had set a memorial that would set in motion the history of their entire life? Rahab. Because Rahab, I promise you, every day, every hour, perhaps every minute, she would check her window to make sure that red scarlet thread was still there, because she did not want to miss the blessing of God, and we'll see that in the days to come. But taking time to remember is so, so critical, because he's amazingly faithful. His faithfulness extends to all generations. And what I want you to think about today is, when it comes to being faithful, what if God wants you and me to be faithful in some small way? Faithful in a little opens the door to much. Being willing to trust him in the midst of what we're going through opens the door for us to experience what God intended. And in these verse 19 through 24, they got to be reminded of how significant it was that God had provided for them in a miraculous way. And he contrasts the Red Sea with the Jordan River. And Moses across the Red Sea, Joshua across the Jordan River, both of them men faithful to accomplish what God intended. Listen, you may be facing the Red Sea. It may not look like a river to you. It may look something bigger than that. But God can meet you at the point of your Red Sea or your river and guide you to experience what he intends for your life. My question is three very distinctive questions, because you can't miss this. In verse 21, he comes back to his question from verse 6. He said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Watch this. Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crosses Jordan on dry ground. So why was the double emphasis here? Because this principle is so key when it comes to remembering what are the memorials that we will share with our children. What memorials will we share with those who come behind us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? What are the things that they will remember the most? The video that played today was a very distinct picture of what happens when two people allow their conflict to rise above his peace and his worship. And then as a result of that, being brought back to a childhood memory of a dad who lived with the simplicity of loving God and touching hearts. Today, as you think about that, what will your children remember about you? What will they say about you? How will they speak about what you've accomplished? How will your friends who are closest to you, what will they say to you as well? Final question is this. When we face the river, will you step in? Because if you won't step in, there'll never be a memory or memorial except disobedience. And my challenge to you is simply this. In your life, you're going to face some great challenges. You will choose the right path or the wrong path. You choose the right path, you build a memorial of stones in your heart and mind that stand forever. The question you get into is, what will you do with it? Will you memorialize that experience? Will it stand out forever in your heart and mind? As you think about that today, you come back to what happened today. What will you remember? Will you remember the testimony of faithful men and women who shared the gospel in another land? Will you remember that Jesus is everything that we'll ever have? Will you remember that people stood on the other side of a river that had been at flood stage that stopped because God said, I'm going to take you to the other side? Will you remember and tell your children that Jesus loves them more than anything? Because if you do that, you're building a memorial that can never be taken down. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it speaks to our hearts and lives. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house on this day. There could be, Lord, there's someone here who needs to build a new memorial to you. A memorial of salvation. A memorial of commitment. A memorial of opportunity that you have for them. Lord, I pray you speak to every heart and life, that every person is present, that they would encounter you and experience you in a vivid and amazing way. Lord, it is all because of you that we set our hearts in motion to experience you. Lord, bless as we respond. We surrender these moments to you in Christ's name. Amen.